And wherever you are in this big old blue ball spinning around in space, we want to welcome you to church, Ignite Church here. It's Mother's Day, and I'm going to dispense with the sermon series that I've been doing, which is on resetting your life, all about our current situation and the lockdown and all that sort of stuff. I want to dispense with that and talk directly to mothers today. I want to encourage you. You know, a lot of mothers today, this is a weird Mother's Day. And I want to encourage all the mothers out there that despite how weird the rest of the world is, God has a plan for your life. And you are anointed to do what you're doing. It's a crazy world of the background. I mean, I hope to meet with my mother later today. She's 87 years old. She's very much in lockdown, and I hope to Zoom with her. So you may not be physically meeting your mother today. You might be Zooming. You might be Skyping. You might be even, gosh, using something as ancient as a telephone to actually communicate. But many of us will not be able to actually physically be with our mums or have our kids physically be with us. It's just a crazy time. In fact, I even heard yesterday that they're thinking about, you know how they have the generations, we have Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, all this sort of stuff. Well, they're going to call the kids who are going to be 13, like in 13 years' time, who were born this year and who in 2033 are going to be turning, they're going to call them quarantines. So I don't know, I thought that was a cool idea. It sort of fits with everything, doesn't it? But it's a crazy time for mothers. You know, today we celebrate Mother's Day. Becoming a mother is not that difficult. It's a biological process. But being a great mother is really difficult. It's something that takes a lifelong commitment. There's no preparation. There's no training. And very often there's very little help. I don't know if you've noticed that, but kids don't come with instruction manuals. Have you noticed that? I think this is one of the great travesties of all time, that you don't get an instruction manual with your kids. It could be worse. You could get like a flat pack instruction manual, in which case you'd be trying stuff and none of it would work and none of the holes would line up and all that sort of stuff. But you don't get instructions. One woman said to me, before I got married, I had three theories on how to raise children. Now I have three children and no theories. Because that's what it's like. All the things you think you know get thrown out the window when you become a mum. Because nobody seems to play by the rules that you want to enforce. Exodus 20 verse 12 says this, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's the first commandment with a promise. And so it's important, church, that we honor our mothers. I want to honor the mothers here today. I can't be with you. I can't give you a rose or a box of chocolates or something like that. But what I can do is encourage you in what the Lord is doing in your life through you to your children. And, well, what I can do is give you a virtual COVID-19 hug, so good on you. Being a great mum is a calling. God has great plans for you mums out there. It's been well said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And what does that mean? It means that mums have a disproportionately large and amazing influence over their children and their children's children. The whole of society can be changed if mums did a great job and built into their kids, because they would raise up men and women who could change our nation and our society. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 says this. Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, then your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. What we deposit with our children and our grandchildren lasts forever. And Paul says in that verse, you know, your grandmother was a believer, your mother is a believer, and now you are a believer. You see the heritage that's passed down there, that's the lot of being a mother. But you know, being a mother is really an overvalued but underpaid work. I mean, you're not really paid for being a mum. You guys go out to work and you get paid money. And if you go to work, you get paid money to do a certain job. But mothers, that doesn't really happen. Motherhood's been described as jointly the world's most underpaid job and overpaid job, or highly paid job, if you count love and goodwill instead of money. If you count money, it's the most underpaid job in the world. Now, to prove this, salary.com conducted a survey in 2010 where they attempted to place a monetary value on everything that a mother does in her life. They determined that if mothers were to be paid for their 10 most common tasks, which includes the following: cleaner, janitor, taxi driver, I hear a few amens from here about that, computer operator, housekeeper, teacher, cook, chief executive officer, psychologist and facilities manager, if they were to be paid, then each mother would be paid more than $120,000 per annum. And much of that is in overtime, because you don't keep normal hours as a mum, you work overtime. So Milton Berle once quipped, "If evolution is real, how come mums only have two hands?" Now think about it. You know, he's not pro-evolution, he's pro-mums, because you need more than two hands to do what is required as a mum. So every mum today, I'm telling you, God has a calling on your life. You are blessed and God has a calling on your life, and you can build into your kids in a unique and incredible way. So let me run through the ways that I think mothers, great mothers, build into their children. Number one, you're a grower. Psalm 127 verse 3 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward." So the fruit of your womb is a reward, mum. You know, when you look at your children, they're a reward. You don't think it, they are sometimes. There are times when you're absolutely certain they're not a reward, that they might actually be a curse, but they're not. The Bible says they're a reward. Mums, you have given birth to and you've nurtured your children. And some of the mums in our fellowship have recently given birth, and it's really hard for them. I'd like to ooh and ah over the new babies as well, but we can't even touch them and get close to them with the current climate. But they are still growing. And some of you gave birth many, 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 many years ago. And guess what? Your kids are still growing. See, as a grower, you get to see them grow from a tiny baby into a mature, and sometimes not so mature, adult. See, yours is the greatest challenge, and the greatest joy is seeing potential realized. There's nothing, you know, I'm a recent convert to gardening. I'm a terrible gardener, but Raymond has encouraged me to plant, you know, all these garden beds, and Betty said, "Get out there and plant some." And the coolest thing is I put these little tiny green things in and I started watering them just a couple of weeks ago, and now they're much taller and stronger. It's really exciting. I know that's about as exciting as watching grass grow or something else grow, but it's growing. When you see it start to grow, you get excited at what could actually become, what it could become. Not the little thing it starts as, but what it could become and the fruit it could yield. But the really interesting thing as a mum is you don't know what the fruit's going to be. So you're growing something, you don't know what the outcome is. If you're a farmer and you plant wheat, you expect to harvest wheat. If you plant corn, you don't get cucumbers, you get corn. But as a mum, you don't really know what you're just building into your kids, and you don't know what's going to come out. You don't know where they're going to be, where they're going to finish up, the decisions they're going to make. So you could be mums. You could be growing a prime minister or a doctor or a pastor or another mum who's going to do a great job. Or you could be growing a criminal or a drug dealer or even worse, a politician. Imagine that, you know. So you don't know. The thing is, as a mum, you pour into your children, but you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You have to trust God that he's going to take that child and use that child to his glory in a way that you don't even fathom as a mum. You've just got to do your job and build into your kids as much as you can. So you're a grower and you love to see your kids grow. The second thing that mums are is a teacher. Now, how many of you have, many mums have said this to me, since this coronavirus pandemic's come around, they expect me to be a teacher at home. I've had mums come to me saying, "I don't know what teacher's salary is, but they should double it because it's a really hard job sometimes teaching your kids." You've all been elected mum's teacher during this pandemic. But listen, mums, you've always been a teacher. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says this, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching." So mothers bring teaching to the table. They're able to teach their kids. You know, and then at the other end of the book of Proverbs, when the writer is discussing the excellent and praiseworthy wife, he describes it like this in Proverbs 31 verse 26. "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." And it's so true. Kids pick stuff up. You know, kids learn stuff. You don't even have to teach them. You've got to be where they are watching. They are learning all the time. So as a mother, you want to make sure that you produce stuff that is worthwhile, that you have wisdom and kindness on your tongue, and you build into your kids and you teach them the important things of life. I started to look up some of the important things that mums teach us. And I found a few good ones like this. This is what mums have taught us. "Silence is golden. Unless you have kids, then it's suspicious." And here's a parenting tip. If you don't know where your kids are in the house, when they're somewhere in the house and you don't know where they are, turn off the internet and watch them magically appear. Now, I think we can all agree with that. Phyllis Diller once said, cleaning your house while your kids are still growing up is like shoveling the sidewalk before it stops snowing. And it is. And Phyllis Diller, who's been, has some very famous quotes, I love this one. She said, I want my children to grow up and have all the things I could not afford, then I want to move in with them. I love that. So you are a teacher, mums. You are teaching your children every moment of the day. The third thing you are is a comforter. Isaiah 66 verse 13 says this, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. See, mothers bring comfort. You know, whether it's a skinned knee or a shattered dream, a broken heart or compulsory isolation, whatever it is you're going through, great mums are there to bring you comfort. You know, you hurt yourself, and very often dads say, oh, come on, toughen up, princess. But mums don't. They're always that comforter. But even if your mum wasn't a comforter, mums, you can be a comforter to your children, to be there when things go wrong. You know, and I know in my life, you know, I can always turn to my mum and ask her stuff. And she will always have some loving advice for me. The fourth thing is they are advisors. See, even today at my age, my mum still speaks into my life. She advises me and I listen. Yes, believe it or not, I listen to my mum. I still listen to my mum. I don't always agree with her, but I listen to her. Why? Because she has earned the right to speak into my life over so many years, as great mums do. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that is so true. It's not a principle. That's not a given. If you train your child up, they'll never depart from it. What it is a general principle. And some will depart, but many, of course, will come back to where they started. Mothers, like it or not, tend to have advice on everything. Have you noticed that? Your mother has advice on everything. I mean, they are the experts at everything. Doesn't matter what it is, they are the experts. Now, we all know the kinds of advice that mothers give, but I did a bit of research and I found a series of pieces of advice that mothers will never give. Okay, so this is sort of the opposite. This is not advice mothers will give. This is what you will never hear mothers saying. Let me run through some of these. The first one, just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look cheery. I think that's for dads as well. You'll never hear mothers say this, let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. No, that's not going to happen. Or this one, go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'd be glad to feed him and walk him every day. Or this is my favourite. I used to try this all the time with my mum. I know I said no, but if Timmy's mum says it's okay, that's good enough for me. No, that's never going to happen. Or this one, come home when you like. The curfew is just a general time to shoot for. Or this is one for the mums of younger kids that you will never say. I don't have a tissue with me, just use your sleeve. You're never going to say that. That's not going to happen, I'm telling you now. That's advice you won't hear mums saying. But how many of you know when you're facing choices in your life, many times a mother's advice comes to mind. So mums, just be careful what you say, how you advise your children. Because the things you say and sometimes the things you do say more than the things you say. But it's all advice. Kids are watching. Kids are learning. Kids are taking it in. Now, the fifth thing a mother is a counsellor. I'm actually married to a counsellor, so I can speak very well on this topic. I get up in the morning, I say, good morning, sweetheart. How am I feeling today? That's what it's like when you're married to a counsellor. You'll be very careful what you say. But Proverbs 31 verse 26 says this about the wise woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. We've mentioned that before. So mothers, you have wisdom and it's your choice. The Bible talks of two sources of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom from beneath and there's godly wisdom from above. If you have godly wisdom, you will speak things into your child's life that'll change their life forever. So you need to make sure it's the right wisdom and give the right wisdom to your kids. Irma Bombeck said this, when your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's a mere formality. It doesn't matter what you answer. You're going to get it anyway. And that's so true. Mothers have great advice, but many people look back on their life and accredit great success in their life to their mums. Abraham Lincoln, Michael Jordan, Liza Minnelli, whose mum was Judy Garland. They attribute the success to advice that their mums gave them as they went along the way. So advice is really important. The sixth thing that a mum is a steward. Now, great mums realise that they do not own their children. You don't own your children. You say, my kids, but it's not your kids because you are only a steward of them. And many of you older mums would be at this point right now. You know, you bring children up the best that you can and you teach them about the Lord, but at some point you need to let them go and they will make their own decisions and they will be responsible for their own decisions. And you probably won't agree with them. So many of our mums here at Ignite, I know that their kids, as they've grown up, have made decisions that the mothers, you godly mothers, don't agree with. And it is so, you're a steward. They're not yours, you are a steward of them. I don't agree with all the decisions my kids make, but I make sure that whether or not I agree with them has no reflection on whether they know that they are loved. Because one of the modern fallacies of this world that keeps shoving down our throat is if you love someone, you will let them do whatever they want. That's not true. That is not true. Listen, doesn't matter what it is, you can love someone and disagree with them. You can love someone and disagree with them. It's okay. And so you mums, you might disagree with the decisions your kids make. It doesn't change the fact that you love them. Mothers need to steward their children and realize that their ultimate fate and destiny is in the hands of the Lord, and it depends. Destiny is not something that happens to you. Destiny is a series of decisions you make. If you make the right decisions, you move into a great destiny. If you make the wrong decisions, you move into a bad destiny. But you shouldn't blame your mum and your upbringing for your own foolish decisions. Now, in the Bible, Samuel's mother was a lady named Hannah, and she'd waited a long time for a child. She prayed fervently for a child, and she had her first child. And the first thing she did was she took her child and she dedicated him to the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, she says this: "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I have made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." So what she's saying is, I'm just going to steward him, but I'm giving him to the Lord. He really, you know, I'm lending him to the Lord in her vernacular. So she's giving him to God. And I know my mum reached that decision with me as I was born. She dedicated me to the Lord and she said, "Lord, have your way with this child and use him as you see fit." So mothers, many of your hearts are breaking for kids that have gone astray, that have not gone to church, or maybe they're breaking your heart right now. Maybe they're sitting in the room with you right now saying, "Oh, I don't agree with this church stuff, but it's Mother's Day, so I'll sit in with you and watch this stuff." Well, listen, kids, many kids have rejected Christ and they've had godly parents. But I want to say two things about that situation. Number one, stop blaming yourself. Because at some point your child is old enough to make their own decision. You can build into them, you can give them instruction, advice, all that sort of stuff. But at some point, they make their own decision. So stop, you know, killing yourself and hurting yourself, saying and blaming yourself for decisions that you had no control over. But the second thing is this: never stop praying for your kids. Because it ain't over till it's over. You know, life is not over till they carry me out in a box. There are decisions to be made. And I am never beyond the reach of the Lord. The Lord can reach out and he can touch our lives. It's not your fault. And never stop praying for your children. So the next thing, it leads me to the next thing, is prayer. A mother's prayer has saved many a soul. So whatever you do, never give up on your children. Never stop praying for your children. 1 John 5 verse 14 says this: "And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." What that's saying is, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And if the desire of your heart is to see your child come to Christ, keep praying and keep believing for that. Mothers, your prayers are powerful. And I know myself, I went through a phase in my life. Now, my mum and dad dedicated me to the Lord early on. And then I went off and did my own thing. And I went right off the rails for a number of years. And my mum kept praying for me. Even when I was, you know, badly behaved towards her and towards others. When I was in rebellion, my mum kept praying for me. And I believe it is the prayers of my mum that kept me from harm and brought me back to God. I really believe that the Lord heard my mum's prayers, and that's what really brought me back to serving him. See, the prayers of a mother protect their children. And if your child is doing stuff you don't agree with, or going right off the rails or rejected Christ, well, just keep praying for them. Keep praying and believing. Don't believe what the circumstances you see. Believe the Lord and say, Lord, I'm giving you this child. I'm only stewarding this child. But Lord, I'm praying for this child. Please bring them to yourself. Many great names throughout Christian history, including Augustine, John and Charles Wesley, Hudson Taylor, Billy Graham. They all were great men who changed the world for Christ, but they all had praying mothers. I don't know if you know the story of Susanna Wesley, John and Charles Wesley's mum. Now, they started the Methodist Church. John Wesley did. Charles Wesley wrote many of the great hymns we sing. And I'm not sure how many kids, I can't remember offhand, it was like 10 or 11 kids that Susanna Wesley had. You know, imagine it, kids running everywhere. She had a rule in her house that she would pray every day, and she would grab her apron and put it over her head. Kids could not touch mum, could not talk to mum or anything. When she had the apron over her head, she was talking to God. And that was where they were brought up. And that was what built into their lives. So the eighth thing is, a mum is also a believer. She's a grower, a teacher, a comforter, an advisor, a counselor, a steward, a prayer, and a believer. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And I'm asking, I'm begging you, mothers, this Mother's Day, don't give up on your children, whether they're little babies and they've got a whole future ahead, or whether they're grown up and misbehaving. Don't give up on your children. Mums always want to believe in you. This is... I don't know if you've met people like this, but you know, mums always think the best of their kids. I know my mum always thinks the best of me. Mums see the good in their children, even if no one else does. Even if their children are complete rat, but you've probably been at daycare with some of these people. You know, their kids are running amok. And all mum can say, oh, isn't he lovely? No, he's not. He's destroying the place. But, you know, she thinks he's lovely because mums just have this incredible, beautiful, beautiful blind spot when it comes to their kids. They see the best in them. For example, Adolf Hitler's mum, Clara, took him to church and wanted him to be a civil servant. She had great plans for him. Look how he turned out. Napoleon's mum was married at the age of 13, but accompanied him into exile on the island of Elba. Osama bin Laden's mum wanted him to stop fighting the West and come home to Saudi like a good boy, but he didn't listen. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, described his mum, and I quote, as smart as hell, and he said he had trouble finding women to marry who compared to her. So he had a pretty good mum. You know, all of these mums bring influence on us. Even I was reading Ted Bundy's mother did not believe that he committed any murders until there was a death row interview where he confessed to 36 murders and put the matter beyond doubt. But she kept believing the best in him. See, they even in kids who are tyrants, who are killers or whatever, their mums see the best in them. And mums, I want to encourage you today, see the best in your children. See the best in your children. Don't harp on all the things that they do wrong or the failures they have. See the best in them. Gather them under your wings and care for them, because that's what mums do. See, mums believe in us when others give up on us. And mums always want the best for their kids and for their grandkids. And I bet every mother listening to this today on Mother's Day 2020, Corona Mother's Day, wants the best for their kids. So mums, we honour you this day. We celebrate you this day. We can't get near to you. We'll give you a virtual hug, but that's as near as we'll get. But we want to honour you today, because we know most of us in our lifetimes, you'll be the most important influence in our lives. And I ask you, mum, please do not give up on your kids, no matter how bad you think they might have become. One of the greatest church fathers in history owed his life and his ministry to his mother's faithfulness. Around 350 AD, St. Augustine, as he became eventually known, was a wayward young man. His mother was a godly woman, and she was praying for her wayward son. And the young Augustine, he lived with a girl, he got her pregnant, he had an illegitimate child, then he joined a heretical sect and he went right off the rails for 9 years. He refused to listen to her. He said, "Mum, don't talk to me. I don't want to have anything to do with you." And she was so distraught at the state of her son that she just got to her knees and she prayed and she prayed and she prayed for her wayward son. And she gave a dream. The Lord gave her a dream that settled in her heart. When the Lord gave her that dream, she held on to it by faith, no matter what happened. This sounds a little bit like if you've seen the film The War Room. Just to pray, you know, pray, don't say, mums. It's so easy for you to say and to nag and to criticize. Don't do it, just pray. Give it to the Lord. That's what this mum did. Well, eventually, a short time after the dream, Augustine came to Christ and he became one of the most significant church fathers in history, certainly of his generation. He was once lost, but then through a mother's faith and love, he was found. And my mother was a believer for me too. She believed the Lord would use me when I had rejected him, when I was doing my own thing and having my sort of, you know, the teenage rebels and all that sort of stuff. She prayed and she believed even when I had hurt her, even when I had discouraged her. Lord Shaftesbury famously once said this. Listen to this, mums. He said, "Give me a generation of Christian mothers and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. What he's saying is, mums, you are priceless. So I want to finish by reading to you the words of a song. It's a country song, so it's country music. In principle, I don't sing country music, but I'm going to read you the words anyway. This is from Tammy Wynette in 1974. I just love this so much. This is so beautiful. Listen to this little poem slash song. Tammy Wynette sings this. "My little girl came into the kitchen this evening while I was fixing supper, and she handed me a piece of paper she'd been writing on, and after wiping my hands on my apron, I read it, and this is what it said. For mowing the yard, $5. For making my own bed this week, $1. For going to the store, 50 cents. And playing with my little sister while you went to the store, 25 cents. It's five times as hard. Taking out the trash, $1. Getting a good report card, $5. And for raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, the mum says this. I looked at her standing there expectantly, and 1,000 memories flashed through my mind. So I picked up the pen and I turned the paper over, and this is what I wrote. For the 9 months I carried you, growing inside me, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you, doctoring you, praying for you, no charge. For the toys, the clothes, the food, and for wiping your nose, no charge. And when you add it all up, the full cost of my love is no charge." Well, when she finished reading, she had big old tears in her eyes, and the little girl looked up at her mum and she said, "Mama, I sure do love you." So she took the pen and wrote in big letters across her side of the page, "Paid in full." You see, when you add it up, the cost of real love is no charge. We can learn that lesson from Jesus. He laid down his life for you and for me. And the cost of him laying down his life was immense to him, but to us it is no charge. You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn it. This Mother's Day, every Mother's Day, whether there's a corona pandemic or not, the cost is the same. No charge. Jesus' love and sacrifice freely given that cost him everything, cost you no charge. So whether you're a mum today or a child, you have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, and it will cost you no charge. It's a life-changing event that will make your life more full and more rich than you could possibly imagine. Mums, you need Jesus to be the mother that he's called you to be. And some of you children, you've broken your mother's hearts and you've done it for long enough. It's time you got on your knees and said, "Lord, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior." And the cost to you this morning will be this: no charge. It's time to make your mother's prayers be answered. She's labored in prayer for you for so long. It's time you said, "No, enough. Jesus, I want to serve you." The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16, which says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." He gave his one and only son, and he charges you no charge. But he does it because he loves you. Because real love doesn't get paid for. It comes at no charge. I want to encourage you right now, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, or maybe you did years ago and you've forgotten about it and you haven't led the life that you want to lead. Maybe you've hurt your mum. Maybe you're a mum and you've hurt your kids. I want to give you the opportunity right now. We're just going to finish this meeting with a prayer. And as we pray together, I want you to pray these words after me. This will cost you no charge in terms of physical dollars, but it'll cost you your whole life because you can give your life to him. But I promise you it is the greatest decision you could make. There is no better decision than asking Jesus into your life. Or if you've been wandering far from him, as many of us have, saying, Lord, I'm going to re-invite you into my life and rededicate my life to you. So why don't you bow your head in prayer, wherever you are, whatever room you're in, just take a few moments to ask the Lord into your life as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Say these words after me, because this could be the most incredible and profound Mother's Day. When we're all talking about lockdown, you can be set free this Mother's Day. When we're talking about disease and horror and pain, you could be the one who is set free to serve in the greatest life you could imagine, both here and into eternity. He paid the price for you. No charge is the cost to you, but you need to ask, you need to receive what he is offering to you today. If I give you a gift today, you'll never get it. If I don't decide to give it, well, he's already decided to give. But if I give you this gift, you'll never get it if you don't decide to receive it. This is your moment to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So pray this with me, whether you're a mum or a kid. Pray this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I've sinned and wandered away from you. Lord, forgive me for my sin. I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sin and I commit myself to living for you day by day. Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I might live a life that is worthy of you and that makes my mum proud. If you've prayed that prayer with me, wherever you are, I'm just going to ask you to tell someone that you prayed it. If you want to call us, Zoom us, Skype us, I don't know, text us. We've got the number up here. You can text. Just let us know. We've got some information we can get to you. We can lead you and guide you. Even in this lockdown, you can start to put your roots down deep and to grow something of great substance in your life. This is your moment. Don't let it pass you by. Jesus paid the price for you and offers it to you no charge, but you need to receive it.